Certainly God is great. God is gracious. And we thank him for all of the bountiful blessings he bestows upon us each and every day. And when we look back into the past, sometimes in prayer we mention the blessings that God has bestowed upon us from the earliest days of our existence down to this present moment. That is certainly always appropriate to acknowledge the goodness and the grace of God, our Heavenly Father. Certainly it's a blessing for us to be here. It's a blessing for me to see you here and for us to be together on this wonderful Lord's Day, that we might worship God in spirit and in truth as he mandates in his divine word. We have a lot of our members who are out of town, some on vacation, some at family reunions, some visiting with other relatives in other cities. And certainly we pray God's richest blessings upon them, that God will watch over them and bring them back to their families and bring them back to us safely. We invite you to get your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Robert Frazier. He read from Acts 27, verses 41 through 44. Acts 27, verses 41 through 44. I'm going to talk to you this morning using as the specific title of our lesson today, Going Home on Broken Pieces. Going Home on Broken Pieces. Paul and his fellow travelers on the Mediterranean Sea had just experienced a terrible storm on the sea. Things looked very bleak and dark. At one point, the divine historian Dr. Luke indicated when all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Things were looking awful dark at that point. But Paul was present on the ship. And Paul's presence on the ship made a tremendous difference when it came to the morale of those who were on the ship. And altogether, they had enough passengers on the ship to pretty much fill this auditorium. And the reason I know that is because Luke himself indicates that altogether on the ship there were 276 persons. That's a lot of folk. 276. They had the soldiers, they had the prisoners, they had the individuals who were operating the ship. And of course, Paul was one of those who was a prisoner. But his presence on the ship made a difference. Paul, in verse 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." You have reason to be cheerful, because although you're going to suffer, we are going to suffer a loss, a serious loss. The most important loss is not going to be experienced by us. The ship is going to be lost, but our lives will be saved. Our lives will be preserved. I went to my oncologist on this past Wednesday, and he gave me a thorough examination from head to toe. As a matter of fact, he's one of the most thorough physicians I've ever encountered in my doctor's visits and during my times of visits to hospitals and the surgeries I have had. I've never had a physician who was so attentive to detail and who was so thorough. But he told me, under the circumstances, that I'm doing well. Now, I have to look at that from the proper perspective, because I know I have a number of medical issues, a number of health problems. But considering all of those, he told me, say, "You're doing fine." I said, "I'm glad to hear that." And a lot of times I feel fine, but sometimes I don't feel so well. And I know that my health is not what it used to be back 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, or 50 years ago. But I'm still thankful. Go ahead and laugh, Drexel. I'm still thankful that I'm doing as well as I am, and I praise God and I bless God because of how much He has blessed me, because of the difference He has made in my life. Paul said in verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul cheered them up, and the Bible lets us know that they did have good cheer. They did take Paul at his word. Verse 36 says, "Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat." That was because of Paul and because of Paul's influence. Now, as we look at verse 41, this is going to be the end of the ship. "And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the back part, the hinder part, was broken with the violence of the waves." This was not unanticipated by Paul, because he had been instructed that the ship was going to be lost, although they would be saved. So now the ship is broken apart. The ship is destroyed. The ship is broken up. verse number 42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Hence we speak of going home on broken pieces. As we consider this concept, I want us to think in terms of, first of all, in verse number 42, a deadly idea. A deadly idea. The soldiers came up with this idea. They came up with the idea and the plan. They said, now this is what we ought to do. Let's kill the prisoners. And of course, that was their recommendation. And the rationale for that recommendation was, if we kill the prisoners, they won't be able to escape. So let's kill the prisoners. And Paul was one of the prisoners on the ship, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But I'm glad that there was somebody on the ship who had greater authority and greater influence than the soldiers. I'm glad that there was somebody on the ship who could veto that recommendation. Somebody would say, no, that's not the best plan. That's not what we are going to do. You might want us to kill the soldiers. I mean, to kill the prisoners, but no, I have the authority. I am the centurion. I am the one in charge. And I say we're not going to kill the prisoners. So we had a decisive intervention. The centurion and his motivating reason. The centurion, willing to save Paul because of his interest in Paul, because of his respect for Paul, because of his appreciation for Paul, because of his faith in Paul, because of his close relationship now for Paul. Notice, he wanted to save Paul. Why did he want to save Paul? He wanted to save Paul because he deemed Paul to be a man of wisdom. He deemed Paul to be a man of insight, to be a man of courage. He had advised them never to leave the fair havens where they were. And he told them later, if you just listened to me, you could have gained this harm and lost. We wouldn't have had to go through this storm if you had listened to me. And of course, Paul's wisdom had been validated by the outcome of the storm. Paul's wisdom had been verified. Paul had shown that he knew what he was talking about. Paul let them know that he had a special connection with God. And Paul was the one who advised them at a very critical point during this journey. Paul was the one who encouraged them to eat. Paul was the one who encouraged them to be of good cheer. Paul was the one who reassured them that there would be no loss of any man's life. Paul was the one that ensured them, that assured them and informed them that the ship would be destroyed, but their lives would be preserved. And so Paul had already validated his genuineness and his wisdom. And so when you have somebody like Paul, you want to do whatever you can. Paul had assured them that we're going to be all saved, the ship is going to be lost. So why would the centurion allow a man like Paul, whose presence meant so much on the ship, why would he allow the soldiers to kill Paul along with the other prisoners? Now, Paul, the centurion, was mainly concerned with Paul. He was concerned about the other prisoners as well, but his main interest was in Paul. Notice verse 43 again, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. He didn't want anything to happen to Paul. He felt Paul was too valuable. Paul had contributed too much. Paul was too helpful. So we want to make sure that Paul is saved. So the centurion, willing to save Paul. You know, sometimes it's good in our lives to recognize the presence of persons in our lives who make a difference. You know, sometimes I was listening to Brother Oglesby Jackson in the area of Quitman, Georgia. There was a time when they were lynching wholesale black folks, Negroes. They were lynching them wholesale, and a whole multitude, a mob of individuals were coming down the road, which is now known as Jackson Road. And they encountered a man and a woman. These folk akin to the Jacksons. They encountered these two individuals. And they were lynching every black person that came into contact with. And somebody looked at them and they said, let's lynch these two. Yeah, they are black and we're lynching a whole bunch of folks, so let's just lynch these two. But that was a white man who intervened. He said, no, so I know them. They are good folk. Said, no, we're going to let them go. We're not going to lynch them. And because of the intervention of this one man, they said, okay, we'll just let them pass. They let them go. So they would have been lynched. This is the same area and during the same era of time when Mary Turner was lynched. And that was one of the most vicious lynchings that ever took place. If you want to research Mary Turner, you can Google Mary Turner and you'll see what happened to her. And when you consider her lynching, it's not for the faint of heart. I don't recommend that some of you Google that and read that story. It was so horrendous. It was so vicious. It was so violent. It was so hateful. I don't recommend some of you read it. Now, I know somebody's going to read it just because I said I don't recommend that you read it. But my point is this. One man intervened and prevented this husband and wife from being lynched. he had enough influence with his contemporaries and with his cohorts that they heeded his admonition to spare this husband and wife. And I say that to say this, that this centurion had that kind of influence that he was able to keep those soldiers from executing the prisoners, including Paul. So he made a decisive intervention, willing to save Paul. He kept them from their purpose and commanded that this was his plan. Those who can swim, cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. I don't know who all could swim. I don't know if Paul could swim or not. But this was a plan that they implemented. The Bible says, let those who can swim cast themselves first into the sea and let them swim on to the shore. The rest, verse number 44, and the rest, those who couldn't swim, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Hence the concept, the idea of going home on broken pieces. Now, we're talking about the shore as being home. The shore of Malta, this was an island where you had some very hospitable people. But if they could get to shore, they would be safe. If they could get to the shore, that was analogous to home. If they could get to the shore, they would be safe. They would be secure. If they could get to the shore, they will have made it home. Now, what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with you? This idea of going home on broken pieces. We sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me toward heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. All of us are headed home. All of us are headed home. And sometimes we don't know exactly what kind of condition we'll be in as we make our way home and as we get home. Some of us will be going home on broken pieces. But don't be discouraged. Even though you might be headed home and going home on broken pieces. Really, my main concern is that I make it home. Whether I have to cling to broken pieces or not, my primary concern is that I make it home safely. Sometimes in our lives, we experience the breakup of certain aspects of our lives. Sometimes we end up with our health being broken. We get discouraged sometimes because we had not anticipated previously that we would experience the breakup of our health. But even if we experience the breakup of our health, we can be thankful to God that we, despite the breakup of our health, we can make it home anyway, even though we make it home on broken pieces. Sometimes we have plans for our lives that we want to realize. We have plans that don't materialize because the force of life's tempestuous sea breaks up our plans, and things don't work out the way we wish they would. Things don't work out the way we had planned that they would. But don't be discouraged. Sometimes your plans are broken in pieces. Sometimes your plans are disintegrated. But don't be discouraged. Just grab a hold to the broken pieces of your plan and go on home on broken pieces. You might not have achieved what you had set out to achieve. You might not have achieved what you desire to achieve. But don't let that hold you back. Don't let that discourage you. I advise and I encourage, go on home on broken pieces. The main thing is, the important thing is, the significant thing is that you make it home. That you make it home, albeit on broken pieces. Sometimes we have dreams that we look forward to with anticipatory joy. We have plans, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And we really cling to those plans, and we want to see them materialize. But sometimes our plans are dashed into pieces by the various forces of life and the various storms of life. And we see, as we look around us and examine our circumstances, we discern that this particular plan is not going to materialize. My plans have been broken up. They have been dashed to bits. But if I can just cling to the broken pieces of my plans and make it to shore, make it home, I'll be all right. Even going home on broken pieces. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to despair. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to allow my spirit and my attitude to be adversely affected because things are not working out the way I had planned for them to work out. Just cling to the broken pieces of your life. And recognize that there are some things that are more important than what you had planned. Some things more important than what you had dreamed, what you had looked forward to. And I'm not saying that you should just automatically reconcile yourself to the reality of your fate. But remember, there are some things that we maintain control over. And there are some things that we have no control over. In dealing with the prospects of going home on broken pieces, we can consider the principles articulated in the Serenity Prayer. Lord, grant me the courage to change the things I can. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And grant me the wisdom to know the difference. Sometimes when we make an appraisal of our circumstances and our situations, we determine that in our situation, in some of our circumstances, there are elements or factors over which we have no control. And we accept the reality of our situation and do the very best we can. We're not going to give up. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to knuckle down to defeat. We're going to go on home anyway. Even if it means going home on broken pieces of our dreams, of our health, of our plans, we're going to go home anyway, albeit on broken pieces. And even as we make a survey and an evaluation of our current circumstances and conditions, we're going to recognize the validity of the fact, as articulated by Paul. Though our outward man perishes, our inward man is renewed day by day. Just do the best that you can. And make sure you do the best that you can. God enables you to do it. And don't allow yourself to be defeated. Go on home, even on broken pieces. And recognize that the Lord is with you. You see, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like we are. Jesus can identify with us. Amen. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help in a time of need. Amen. And if you can internalize the principles in a poem I love so dear, there is no better friend to me, my God, than thee. So when the storms of life ascend, dear Lord, walk with me. When the skies of life are dark and the sun I can barely see, to thy word I'll surely hark, for you will walk with me. When all other friends leave, when shipwrecked on a barren sea, to thee, O God, I'll cleave, for you will walk with me. But when things do improve, when the sunshine I again can see, when the raging storms are removed, Lord, continue to walk with me. Yes, when the bright sun, the clouds disperse, on my knees I'll bow to thee, for when things are better or worse, you'll always walk with me. And realizing that God will always walk with you, he'll always be there for you, should give you renewed hope and renewed determination and renewed courage, if necessary, to go home on broken pieces. Sometimes you are tempted to throw in the towel. But remember, the Lord said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Even though you are clinging to broken pieces of life's ship, remember that the Lord is there with you. The Lord is present with you, and he is a very present help in trouble, in a time of need. And he will enable you to make it home. And you'll be able to look back, and you'll be able to smile, you'll be able to rejoice, you'll be able to praise God, because you will have gone to the land of fateless day and experienced the environment of the city foursquare. You will have gone to the place where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary be at rest. And all of God's saints of the ages will sit at his feet and be blessed. If you see your plans disintegrating and coming apart and breaking up, if you see your dreams disintegrating due to forces beyond your control and breaking up, if you see your health disintegrating and breaking into pieces, don't despair. Don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Don't surrender. Don't give out. Don't give up. Don't quit. God still has some wonderful things in store for you. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, you'd like to smile, but you have to sigh. When cares pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. So don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you are hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Go on home on broken pieces. The Lord is with you. He will help you. And make the commitment, make the determination, I will be faithful unto the very end. I will be faithful until death. I will never turn around. I will never give up. I will never surrender to the forces of negativity and the forces of evil. I'm committed, I'm determined that I'm going home. Even if I have to go home on broken pieces. Maybe you are here and maybe you've come.